The book of Matthew chapter 12, and this morning I do need to turn to quite a few references. If you can turn with me, that's fine. If not, of course, I will read them. But in Matthew chapter 12, 42, this is the verse I want to impress upon us. The Lord Jesus Christ is facing these religious critics. They're wanting to conspire to kill him. Remember, these were the religious leaders. These were the ones who should have welcomed the Messiah. These were the ones who knew the Old Testament scriptures that prophesied of him, and yet they were blinded because of their hatred and unbelief. And he turns to them in verse 42 and he warns them, "The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we turn to this verse, impress the greatness of it, the solemnity of it, the wonder of it upon our hearts. Help us to see Christ, we pray, in our Saviour's name. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ is greater. In this chapter, he's greater than any prophet. He's greater than any king. He's greater than the temple. That means he's the greatest high priest. It's amazing here that In the Old Testament, the prophets, priests, and kings were all anointed with the oil. The word that we use so often, the title, the Christ. Always remember that term means the anointed one, the anointed one. Every prophet, priest, and king who were anointed with oil at the commencement of their ministry were all signposts, pointing that one day the perfect prophet, priest, and king would come. The Lord Jesus Christ. We know him, the Messiah, the Christ, same term, the anointed. And thank God he has come. But when he came, these people would not believe that he is the anointed one. But it's tremendous this morning that our Lord Jesus Christ is greater. Greatest prophet, priest, and king. You know what that means practically? There's no problem that you could have that he can't solve. Because he's the prophet, he's all wise. And he's the king. He can rule over your enemies and his enemies. He can solve that problem and give the power. And he's the priest. He can deal with the guilt of our sins. In other words, this is a very practical subject, because knowing that he's the great prophet and king means that you can know him as your Savior and you can know him with you in the nitty-gritty of life. And also for all eternity, you can have him. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. You know, that was, first point is this, that was a comparison that startled them. These men were startled. There stood the Savior, he's God in human flesh. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But they considered him just to be a nobody. You, greater than Solomon? Solomon was the king's son. You're the son of a carpenter. So they thought. You, greater than Solomon, he was born in a palace. You were born in a stable. Greater than palace, Solomon. Solomon had thousands of sermons. You've just servants. You've just a ragtag group of followers with you. You, greater than Solomon, he wore a kingly robe. He just dressed like a peasant from Galilee. Solomon drank out of vessels of gold, not even silver. We read it. Every vessel he had in his house was of gold. You have to ask drink of a Samaritan, immoral woman. Solomon had 300,000 shields of gold for his army. You don't even have an army. Solomon lived in a magnificent palace. You don't even have anywhere to lay your head. Solomon was rich. You're just a pauper. How could you compare yourself to Solomon? But thank God, when you have scripture and you come to know Christ, we have no hesitation this morning in saying the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than Solomon. Solomon is what we call a type, a picture. He's an illustration. Yes, historically, he was the greatest king in Israel in the sense of glory. David, of course, the first of the royal line, great king. But Solomon was known for his glory and the majesty and the dominion that he had. He was the epitome of what a king would be. The Jews were longing for the anointed one to come, to set up a great kingdom. But they forgot the prophecies that when the king came, he would first suffer and die and become the Lamb of God. But Solomon is a picture. And all you read about Solomon, and we just read a little bit, it points forward to the greater glory of our great King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in the Old Testament, in 1 Chronicles this time, I want to read a verse. Not 2 Chronicles, but 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles and chapter 22, there's a wonderful verse that was given to David. David, of course, was Solomon's father. And in 1 Chronicles and 22, and it's very interesting, in verse 9, 1 Chronicles 22, verse 9, and here's God speaking to David. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon. And he will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build an house for my name. That's the temple. And he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Look at his name here. David, I'm giving you a son. He's the son of David. Of course we know that, don't you? Solomon was the literal son of David. But do you know how the New Testament begins in Matthew 1, verse 1? Jesus, the anointed, the Christ, the son of David. That's one of the most common titles of our Messiah, our Savior, our King when he was upon earth. Son of David, have mercy upon me, Bartimaeus cried. Yes, Solomon is the son of David, but our Lord Jesus Christ is a son in his humanity, in the sense descended. Great, 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 great son, but it's called son. Solomon was the son of David. Christ is the son of David. That's what we're saying. But then, look again in verse 9 of that chapter. His name shall be Solomon. Do you know what the name Solomon means? Peace. During his reign, Israel had peace. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ is the greater than Solomon. Solomon had peace in his reign, but it's only the Lord Jesus Christ can give peace from sins. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ can give the guilty conscience peace. He is our peace. He made peace by the blood of his cross. He can give you this morning the peace that passeth all understanding. Christ is our peace. Christ is our greater than Solomon. His name, son of David, he's Solomon. Look what else it says. It says here about Solomon, it says, he shall be a man of rest. Isn't that interesting in the verse? He shall be a man of rest. Do you know in our text in Matthew 12, if you turn back to, don't do it now, but in Matthew 11, 28, do you know what you have Christ saying? Come unto me, all ye that labor under heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great one who can give us rest. Oh, listen, Christ is greater than Solomon. Like Solomon, he's David's son. He gives a greater peace than Solomon. He's the man of rest. And of course, Solomon, yes, human king, but our Lord Jesus Christ is infinitely greater, for he's not only man, but he's God. He's God and man. How much greater is our great king? But it's interesting in these verses that I've read to you, it says he will establish his king throne. This is verse 10 of his kingdom over Israel forever. It's interesting. How was that fulfilled? How was that fulfilled? There's other verses I could turn to about Solomon reigning on the throne and so on. Solomon died. But you know in the Gospel of Luke 1, verse 32, I'll read it to you. Before Christ was born, you know what the prophecy was in Luke 1, 32? Listen, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Do you know this verse was fulfilled in Christ? See, Christ is the true king. And the one that was born in Bethlehem is the greater king than Solomon. And of his reign there shall be no end. There shall be no end. That's the tremendous truth of this. The throne, we read about the throne, didn't we? We read about the throne, the ivory throne. And Solomon sat on a throne that was made of gold and ivory, and it had various lions carved round it, and so on. The Queen of Sheba was overcome when she saw the throne, the glory of the throne that Solomon sat upon. But when you read the book of Revelation chapter 4 and 5, there's a greater throne where the greater son of David, the great man of peace, the man of rest, the eternal king, he sits upon the throne of the universe. This morning, on a far, far greater throne than Solomon. Oh, there's so much we could bring out. I want to point this out to you. Not verses here, but for time. 2 Chronicles 9 and 8. Do you know what was said to Solomon? A very strange verse. You'll sit upon Jehovah's throne. In fact, the Queen of Sheba talked about Solomon was on the Lord's throne. You think about that. Solomon sat upon the Lord's throne. Now, that's only in type. Of course, the Lord set up the throne of Israel, promised it to David. But the actual reference there, Jehovah's throne was the throne upon which Solomon sat in picture and type. But our Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah, and he sits on Jehovah's throne forever and ever and ever. I'll just give you the chapters if you want to study this out. In 1 Kings chapters 1, 2, and part of 3, you will read about how Solomon became king. It's interesting. He was crowned king just before his father David died. In other words, he became king in the place of his father. Listen, our Lord Jesus Christ has always been king. He's been king from eternity. There never was a time when he's not King of Glory, King of the Ages. Never has been a time. Where is he that is born king? The wise men asked, not where is he that's going to be king one day? And you know how Solomon was made king? The great parallels, I can just touch on them a little bit. The priest and the prophet, Zadok and Nathan by name, Nathan the prophet, Zadok the high priest, they were sent to go and bring Solomon to Jerusalem to be crowned as the king. And they set him upon a mule and brought him. Now, if you know anything about mules and horses, which I admit I don't know too much, but I know this, you can't get on a horse, a mule, or a donkey that's never been broken. You try it, you'll soon end up on the ground. But when our Lord Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem, he rode upon the back of a donkey upon which never man sat. Why? Because he's greater than Solomon. He's the king of all the creation. But you know then what they did when they made Solomon king? They took a horn of oil, a horn of olive oil. You know what oil represents? The Holy Spirit. I could show you verses in that in the Old Testament. And they took a horn of oil. In other words, kept it in some type of animal's horn and kept it there. But you see, a horn in Scripture speaks of power. Now, when Solomon was crowned king, they poured oil upon his head, the horn speaking of power. In other words, saying that God will give Solomon power of the Holy Spirit to be king over Israel. But thank God the Lord Jesus Christ is anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows, above everybody else. And the Lord Jesus Christ is all power. He's greater power than Solomon ever had. He's the far, far greater than Solomon. Far greater than Solomon. And it's interesting that, and I don't go through all these verses for time, but his kingdom prospered. God made it to prosper. Not tremendous. God made it to prosper. Well, if you want to know that, it's 1 Chronicles 29, if you want to check it out as I read it. Maybe I should just turn to it to show you that. It's the last chapter of 1 Chronicles. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord. See that? 1 Chronicles 29:23. That's what I was saying, on the throne of, that's Jehovah, instead of David. But note this, and prospered. Oh, the prosperity of his reign. Oh, the prosperity of Christ's reign. Then it says, and all Israel obeyed him, and the king, all the princes and the mighty men, and all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. You know, one day every human being that's ever been created will submit unto our greater than Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to bow the knee before him. And it goes on to speak in the next verse, verse 25, the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly. There'd been no king like him before. Can you see? Here's what we're saying. Don't miss why we're looking at these verses. This isn't just a history lesson. This isn't just, oh, it's wonderful what Solomon, what he was like. we're looking at Solomon because everything Solomon was, the Lord Jesus Christ is greater. He's greater. God the Father has magnified the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father has magnified him and prospered him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. Our Lord Jesus Christ is far greater than Solomon. They bowed before him. Of course, I need to ask you this. You will bow before this king one day. But have you bowed before him voluntarily? Is he your king this morning? In one sense, he rules over everything, of course. But is he your king willingly? Do you know that the majesty, the royalty of this king is for you? Well, I don't need to turn to these verses, but I'm sure you know it. In 1 Kings 4:31, you know what it says? Solomon was wiser than any. Well, that's true as regarding any normal human being, but our Lord Jesus Christ is greater than Solomon in his wisdom. It was the wisdom that Queen of Sheba came to see, to hear, to listen to. We're told that in our text in Matthew 12. The wisdom of our Lord Jesus Christ is greater. Do you know, when you read 1 Kings, it talks about he wrote 3,000 Proverbs, so they're not all in our book known as the Proverbs. He wrote that, of course. He wrote more. He wrote over 1,000 songs. He wrote books and talked about wonders of nature, of trees, of plants, of fishes, of fowl, botany. He wrote all about that. But our greater king than Solomon, he created them all. He could command the fish to stay out of a fishing net or to go into a fishing net. Our Lord Jesus Christ is greater because Christ has made unto us wisdom. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. And he can deal with the most difficult questions. He's the wise counselor, the wonderful counselor. And the Queen of Sheba came and she saw that he dealt with the most difficult problems, and our great king has dealt with the greatest problem that you and I can have, and it's this: how can a holy God forgive me, the sinner, and yet be holy? And that was answered at Calvary when Christ became our Savior. Solomon built a great house. Lord Jesus Christ is building a home in heaven for his people. Solomon built a great temple in which his people worshipped. Oh, Christ is our great temple. I'm saying Christ is a greater king than Solomon. He's king of kings. He's king of the ages. He's king of saints. He's king of righteousness. He's king of glory. What a great king we have. The comparison that startled them. If you remember the text, because it's been quite a while on that, but in Matthew chapter 12, not only the comparison that startled them, but you remember what our text said in Matthew 12 as well? Not only that he was greater than Solomon, but he went on to say this, and this would have really cut them. Matthew 12:42, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation. Isn't that amazing? The queen of the south, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, that's a commendation that shamed them. What Christ is saying is, this lady came from a long way and a difficult journey because she heard about Solomon. And you men won't come. That's what he's saying. Now, that really cut these men. You need to understand at that time, the religious leaders hated Gentiles. And the Lord commended a Gentile. This is the commendation that shamed them. And not only commended a Gentile, but a woman. I think I heard something in the news the other day, but it was International Women's Day. Well, do you know to this very day, ladies, this may shock you, do you know that those religious leaders had a prayer? And in fact, the devout Jews to this day, the sect of the devout Jews, yes, in this very year, do you know what they still pray? Jewish men of the devout sect, when they waken every morning, you know what their first prayer is? Listen, ladies. Blessed are you, Jehovah our God, ruler of the universe, who has not created me a woman, a Gentile, or a slave. That's what you call male chauvinism, isn't it? That's what devout Jewish men to this day actually pray. Isn't that amazing? I'm not defending it in any way. I'm just telling you that's the fact. And Christ said to those men, that Gentile woman, she came. He's commending her. Because she heard a report. She didn't see it with her eyes. But she heard a report. And she made a long journey to find out. Now, in contrast, Those religious leaders had actually seen with their eyes the miracle, they'd seen the evidence, they'd heard Christ speak, bring it up to date. There's not one of us here this morning has not heard the word of God, has not heard the wisdom of Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's none of us here haven't heard that the Lord Jesus Christ, as King, went to the cross. Yes, he's King when he hung there. The world mocked him as he seemed to die to them in weakness and shame. But I want to remind you, read Matthew 27, underline the word King. I believe without a shadow of doubt, as Christ hung on that cross, nailed to that tree, he was still the King, and he was ordering all events. And with his kingly power through, of course, as the priest, he shed his blood. Listen, at Calvary, our great King defeated sin, Satan, and death. And you know that. You've heard about that. You've heard about the power of the King in conquering sin. You've heard that if you trust him as your Savior, he'll come into your life and he'll change you and he'll forgive you and cleanse you of your sin and he'll come in to be King of your life. You've seen all that. Those men in Matthew 12 had seen it. Christ was standing before them. Yet Christ said, "Man, I'm commending you, a Gentile woman. She travelled all that way to see Solomon, and you won't even believe in me. You won't trust me." Do you know, it startled, I can't go back to 2 Chronicles 9 for time, but you remember it says she saw the ascent up to the house of the Lord, and there was no more breath in her? In other words, she was speechless. She saw, you see, in the temple that Solomon built, there was steps up and there was the brazen altar where animals were sacrificed and the people of God used to sing. That's where they would gather to sing the psalms. Do you know, when King Solomon dedicated the temple, it's in 2 Chronicles 7, you can read about it. Do you know, at that dedication service, the greatest sacrifices in the Old Testament, greatest in the sense of the many of them, do you know, at one time, there were 120,000 sheep were sacrificed. Now, I know a few of you men are running after sheep. Isn't that right, John and Simpson, at this time, the lambing? Can you imagine 120,000 at one service? Oh, can you imagine the blood that flowed? And there were 22,000 oxen. You say, what? So the multitude, yes. That's why I say it's the greatest in that sense. But I want to tell you this. Our Lord Jesus Christ, our great prophet, priest and king, offered a greater sacrifice. You see, all those animals that Solomon shed their blood, well, the priest did it, he commanded it. They couldn't take away one sin. They're only a picture. But our Lord Jesus Christ, when he shed his blood at Calvary, his blood can cleanse the foulest. Thank God for our greater than Jonah. Our greater than Jonah, the Lord Jesus Christ. This queen came and she listened to his wisdom. She looked at his wealth and she said, "The half cannot be fancied this side the golden shore." Well, that's put into poetry, but she said, "The half hasn't been told me." Oh, if you come to Christ, you'll see that he is greater than Solomon. Matthew 12:42, let me sum it up. You have there the comparison that startled them. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. You have this commendation that shamed them. The queen, she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear. Ah, but look at the condemnation. The condemnation now that stunned them. Look at the first part. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. What does it mean? He says to those men, "Listen, men, there is going to be the day of judgment." He's already spoken about it earlier in the chapter. The day of judgment is going to come. You see, Christ spoke about hell, right? You take Matthew right from the Sermon on the Mount right through. He described it. He discussed it. Of course, he showed that we can escape it by trust in him. He came to bear the sinner's hell so that we could go free. But he warned about the day of judgment. And he's already told these men, "You're close to committing an unpardonable sin that'll never be forgiven." Imagine saying that Christ was casting out devils by the power of the devil. What an awful thing. And they just wouldn't believe. And Christ is warning them. And he's saying, "Listen, you men, on the day of judgment, the Queen of Sheba is going to condemn you." Why? You see, she didn't have the Bible.
She didn't have all the information, yet she came. And what the Lord is saying, you have all the evidence, you have the Old Testament scripture, but you won't heed it, you won't accept its invitation, you won't believe its promises, you won't obey its commands. You have more light than she has, or she had. And the queen will rise in the judgment. It tells me there will be a judgment. It tells me all the people that lived hundreds of years before that will be at the judgment. These religious leaders will be at the judgment. And you and I will be at the judgment. All of us. And in that day of judgment, can you imagine the scene as these religious leaders who have rejected Christ? And I think there's a finality about that statement. She shall condemn you. That would suggest that these men were already lost. She will condemn you. You see those men standing there, and there's a witness. And they're showing there's the Queen of Sheba with so little light, so little opportunity, so little knowledge, and she made that long journey to see Solomon. And Christ was right in front of you, inviting you to come, and you would. Can you imagine the horror in those men's faces? But you know, there's a greater witness than the Queen of Sheba on that day. Yes, the condemnation that stunned them, but you know why? The one who is quoting this verse to them, the Queen of the South, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know who will be in the throne of judgment? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because my Bible tells me that it records that God the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So the very Jesus of Nazareth, the Saviour, the one that they were rejecting in Matthew 12, is the one that they'll look into his eyes like a flame of fire. No excuse. No excuse. Speechless. Oh, but I tried the best I could, but... Do you think they would say that? They'll see the one they rejected. Condemnation that stunned them. But oh, what has this got to do with us today? Wouldn't it be horrific, horrific, if someone here with all the knowledge that we have of the Scripture, of the knowledge that Christ went all the way to Calvary to die for sinners, that he's a greater king than Solomon, greater in his riches, greater in his glory, greater in his power, and he's given us the Scripture, and he's given us people to pray for us, given us people to witness to us, and yet for someone here, and in that day of judgment, you stand before the greater than Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to think of the times he spoke to you and invited you, but you didn't come. Oh, it's a wonderful text, yet it's a solemn text. Do you know this greater than Jonah? Greater than Jonah as the prophet, greater than the temple as your priest, greater than Solomon have you bowed before him as your king? Have you? Trusted him that all he says is right, the true prophet, died for sin, the greater priest, king. Bow to him. Submit to him. Lord of your life, trust him. But you know, once you come to trust him, this is a tremendous text. A glorious text, because you can go and read all about Solomon, and as you read it, all the vessels were of gold. Would not be interested. You know, sometimes ladies will bring out the silver. Oh, look at the lovelies. He didn't have silverware. It was all gold. You say, my, would not have been great. And you say, that's nothing. That's only a physical thing. That's a picture of the wonderful riches of the glory of God and the riches of the grace of God and the riches of the mercy of God. Those golden utensils and all the stones. You know, it says another verse I didn't read that he made silver to be like stones in Jerusalem. The king's subjects, silver was just like stones in the street. But that's a material picture of what heaven's going to be like. No wonder Fanny Crosby in her hymn, The Blind Hymn Writer, wrote, I know I shall see in his beauty the King who, in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Listen, he's King. Oh, if you know him as King, rejoice. Rejoice in your King. And one day you'll see him face to face. And here's an amazing verse, and I finish. Revelation 3:21. You know what he said? I will grant this people to sit with me on my throne. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine anybody sitting beside Solomon on his throne? Well, can you picture the greater than Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory? And yet if you know Christ as your Savior, he says in heaven, I'll grant you to sit with me. I can't explain that verse. Does it not boggle your mind? The glory that Christ will share. He prayed that in his high priestly prayer, John 17. Father, I will that those thou hast given me will share my glory one day. Far, far greater glory than Solomon. So if you read the Old Testament and read of Solomon's glory, say, thank you, Lord. I never saw Solomon in all his glory, but one day I'll see Christ in his glory. And he's going to share it with me, a guilty, hell-deserving, no good sinner. And he saved a wretch like me and share his glory with me. It's great to be saved. It's great to know Christ. Oh, may we all know him this morning.